Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, we thank you for all your goodness, your blessing, your favor, all that you've done for us and continue to do for us, the grace that you've provided for us. Lord, we don't have to get you to work up supply for us. It's already done. We just need to learn faith and receive by faith. And we thank you for that. We thank you for your promises, your truths. They are good. They are always good, and they are yes and amen in you. So Holy Spirit, teach us tonight. Help us understand faith by revelation and not just by definition, but let truth be imparted. Eyes that see, ears that hear, and hearts that understand. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I'm going to go to Romans 4. I almost said 14. But Romans 4, and I'm going to read in the Amplified in verse 17. It says, "As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. He," talking about Abraham, "was appointed our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and speaks of the non-existent things that he has foretold and promised as if they already existed. For Abraham, human reason for hope being gone, hoped in faith that he should become the father of many nations. As he had been promised, so numberless shall your descendants be." Verse 19, "He did not weaken in faith when he considered the utter impotence of his own body, which was as good as dead, because he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's deadened womb." So he didn't weaken in faith by his circumstances, which means he's not considering his circumstances. "No unbelief or distrust made him waver, doubtingly question concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong and was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God, fully satisfied and assured that he was able God was able and mighty to keep his word and to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was credited to him as righteousness," or right standing with God. Verse 21 says, "Fully satisfied and assured that God was able and mighty to keep his word and to do what he had promised." If you're going to be strong in faith, you got to be fully satisfied right there. In other words, you can't look to anything else. So what Abraham was doing was he was not considering anything but what the promise of God was. He was not just living in denial of what was in front of him, because the Bible said he knew what was going on with his body. He understood the condition of it, and he understood the condition of Sarah's body, that neither of them could have children, but he didn't put his hope or his faith in natural things. He put it in the promise of God. So whenever there was no expectation or hope in the natural, in other words, the natural circumstances, if he would have gone to the doctor, if he would have gone to a professional, him and Sarah, they would have looked at them and said, "There's no way you're having kids. There's no way." And so he did not hope in that, but he hoped in faith. He expected in faith. You have to expect in faith. So how do you know that the word of God is working on your behalf? I expect it in faith, and we walk by faith, not by sight. So I'm expecting, based on the promise of God, that God is going to perform in my life what he said he would, even though I can't see a thing. Does that make sense? Now, people make this difficult. Because we are so naturally minded, and we're born into the physical, natural world. But you do this with your salvation already. Because where is heaven? Can you show me? Can you take me there and go see if we just go over here, take a left? You're already walking by faith. Now, you know the manifestation of that place. You're going to see that after your body passes. But you're using your faith now. Because if you're born again, you're expecting to go to heaven when you pass away. If that's when your body is finally thrown off, you're doing it by faith. The only difference is that when it comes to the day-to-day promises, you're expecting those promises to manifest here and now. That's the only difference. And sometimes it takes a little bit of time. But the issue is not God. I'll put it to you like this. And we need to understand this. Everything that God has promised us in His Word is already done. It's already done. God is not making your healing when you believe for it. He's already got it. It's already there. He's not making your provision financially when you ask. It's already there. It's already there. It's already done. He doesn't need to. And people, your natural mind will try and go directions, and you got to grab a hold of it, and you got to go, no, it's already done. And I'll prove it to you right here. When you get born again, does Jesus have to be re-crucified? No. Why? Because when He said it is finished, it is finished. It's done. So everything in that atonement, which we already went over the atonement, so I'm not going to go over that again, but everything in that atonement is provision for you today, and now all you do is access it by faith. And you have to get an attitude with the enemy about it. You just do. Now, you probably shouldn't get an attitude with your doctor or with people around you or your friend in one sense, okay? I think there should be some attitude no matter what. But you got to get an attitude for sure with the enemy and the way he does things, because he is going to present fear to you. And fear is false evidence appearing real. That's what fear is. It's false evidence appearing real. In other words, there are two forces working in the earth. One is God's spirit. The other is Satan. There are no in-betweens. There are no like rogue, you know, spirits running around that don't fall into the devil category or the God category. They don't exist. Now, there are people that think they've discovered and learned these new things, but they're not there. It's nonsense. It's all the devil. Everything outside of the Holy Ghost and God and His Word is Satan in the spiritual. So you do have a spiritual force coming at you, but when you understand who you are in Christ and you understand the promises of God and you understand the operation of faith, you will overcome the enemy every time. Because the Bible says this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And it overcomes everything. It overcomes everything. Faith can overcome any situation where the promise of God is provided and believed in. So as long as the Word of God speaks to it, then you can have faith for it. So let's go to Mark 11, 23 and 24. I like this verse. This is the one that everybody thought Kenneth Hagin wrote, but he didn't. He just preached it. This is the one where people get really mad about this verse. They'd get so mad at him. You can't have what you say. Well, let me help you with something. He didn't say that. Jesus did. So I guess you can take it up with Jesus. But it says this, Mark 11, 23 says, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast." Let's do this. Let's go up to verse 20. "Now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, 'Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away.' So Jesus answered and said to them, 'Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not what? Doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." Okay? So let's look at this again. Jesus says, notice Jesus did not say, "Now I did this to prove that I'm the Son of God, so don't you try this at home." He did not say that. Okay? Now there's two ways you can do this. You can either decide that you're going to believe God, or you can follow popular opinion. "Well, if you preach that, people aren't going to like you. So I'll be in Jesus' category then." Yes, that's where I want to be. That's where I want to be. I want to be in His category, because if we're going to see His results, we have to do it His way. "Well, you know, if you start a church and it's a, you know, in this area and it's a Word of Faith church, you know, it's not going to grow very big. Just hang around. What you're telling me is you're giving me opportunity to use my faith. And you know what it's like for me. And it should be this way for you. Not just in the sense of like, you know, some people are just like, if you tell me I can't do it, I'm going to prove you wrong. Some of that's pride. But if you tell me God won't do what he said he would do, well, there's a challenge then. And we need to step up to those challenges because the enemy is done, and really this is the reason why, he has kept the church crippled in so many areas. But we are not going to be crippled. We are not going to be spiritually just pressed down and held down. We're going to rise above because that's what the Lord promised. Amen? So he says this. He says, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you. Who said that? Jesus. What if you can take it to the bank? This is the one who redeemed you by his own blood. This is the one who stepped out of heaven and went to hell for you. And he says, I'm telling you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, can you not doubt in your heart? The answer is yes. Every single person can choose faith. There is no one on the planet, or who will ever be on the planet, or whoever has been on the planet, who cannot function in faith. They do not exist. All right? People go, well, you can't, how are you going to say that? I know me, and I know what I'm like. And you are choosing doubt, and you're not choosing faith. If it is possible, If there is a person born who doesn't have the ability to believe God, isn't given that opportunity, then God is unjust in demanding it. Now, there's a whole lot of people that play tricks with themselves, and like, you know, they banter. They don't banter usually openly as much, but inside. They do this inside. And people say, well, what do you mean? How many times did Jesus... it says the Pharisees said in their heart, and Jesus looked at him and said, you say in your heart this. You know that happens to preachers all the time. Do you know when I'm preaching along and I hit something and I get in a flow of the Holy Spirit on something? I'm speaking to someone's heart. They're not vocalizing it. I know what's going on. I've been at it long enough. I'm dealing with somebody inside, on the inside of them. Wham, wham, wham. The sword of the Spirit's attempting to get in there and wake them, clean out the old stuff, and wake them up to the reality of who they, what they have the capability of doing. Does that make sense? Anybody ever felt that before? I've been in services. I'm like, whew, they are reading my mail. They open the mail. They are reading the mail. They are now putting the mail on the table and sliding the letter to me. You know what I mean? There is nobody who does not have the potential to walk in the faith of the apostles and Jesus Christ himself if they're on the planet. They don't exist. Now, that's, you know, truth is that way. You know, I'm not walking in all the faith that I could, that I have the potential to. So it's challenging. So, what we do with that information, what we do with that truth, is up to us individually. It's up to us individually. We choose what we do with our hearts. We choose what we are going to put ourselves into. We choose. We decide. If we choose God and His Word, then that is what will manifest. But if we choose not, you know, people will say it. I just can't believe. No, you just choose not to. There's nobody who can't. They don't exist. You're on the planet. You're here. You're a spirit. You just need to get the unbelief out and start filling yourself full of faith. Everybody can believe. I can believe to remove mountains. He says, and does not doubt in his heart. Why even put that in there? He's challenging these guys. He's going, look, don't allow doubt in your heart, boys. Choose faith. Choose faith. But believes that those things which he says. Now notice, we said this earlier. Jesus said, whoever says to this mountain. And then he says, but believes that those things which he says. So there's say it again. And then will be done. He will have whatever he says. So there's three says there. There's three speaky. Speak your faith. Speak what you believe. The other day, the girls came to me. I'm not feeling so good. And Taylor's like, I got that. You know how? I got it. Kylie's like, oh, you know. You're so insensitive, Sean. Thank you. Anyway, I said, so I didn't say anything to him. I actually just kind of kicked him out of the office. You know, like, Dad, what are we going to do? And I said, so I was sitting in my office, and I kind of got him away from me so I could pray for a second. And I prayed. And then they're in the bathroom, you know. I said, well, you're going to bed. And so they're in the bathroom brushing their teeth. And I walked in, and I said, well, what are you going to do about it? You mean you didn't just run to their rescue and pray for them? I did them one better. I taught them to stand in faith. I said, I did them one better. I taught them to stand in faith. I said, well, what are you going to do about it? Taylor's kind of looking at me, you know. I know what Kylie's doing. She's thinking. She's like me. She's going, I got to figure out what to do. Taylor's just looking at me with the toothbrush in her mouth. Always a concerned look, you know. Just always, I don't know if that's just how her face is or what, but you're just, you know. And I said, well, what are you supposed to do? I said, how about you get a scripture? And they're like, oh, yeah, yeah, get a scripture, yeah. We get you one. I said, what's a scripture? What's a scripture on healing? Taylor's like, 1 Peter 2. She found it, 1 Peter 2:24. They had that script. So that, okay, they got their scripture. I said, good, get after it. Now, I am using my faith. Now, I didn't tell them, but I am using my faith with theirs, of course. Yeah, I'm a parent. I would do it if they were, you know, 40. So, so they go to bed and they wake up the next morning. Fine. Everything's fine. No, nothing, you know. So, but what did they learn? Have you ever noticed this? Your emotion and your natural gravitate toward the least always. You say, what do you mean by that? The moment that you step out in faith and you do something and the enemy comes against you with something, instantly your natural mind go, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Well, you need to have God in the picture. What is he going to do? What are you going to agree with him on? What is he asking you to do? What is he telling you from? What scripture is he prompting to you at this moment to deal with this situation? And then once you get that scripture, you say, and then you say, and you say again. And you believe in your heart, and you don't doubt, and you stick with your faith, and don't give up on it. And when circumstances look worse, you say it more. We're going to prove that here in just a little bit. But that's what faith is. What did Abraham do? He got a promise at this year, at this point in his life, and 25 years later it manifested. Most people pray and ask God for something if it doesn't happen in like a half hour. They're falling out, crying, on the floor, flopping like a dead fish. You know what I mean? Just out of water. God, why didn't you do what you said you would do? God is not the problem. We are. If you find yourself going that direction, you need to grab your flesh by the nape of the neck and go, no, we're not acting this way. This is not how maturity in Christ acts. This is not how spiritual believers act. This is not how, this isn't it. People of faith, they settle on this word. You know, the apostles were so settled on the word, they were willing to die for it. I heard a story years ago about in a communist nation, and they would had underground churches. And some soldiers found this underground church, and they went into it. And they had their machine guns and everything with them. And they go into this place, and they have their machine guns, and they get the people all lined up, and they said, look, if you will leave right now from the church, we won't shoot you. We'll give you a chance. You can leave right now. If you run. And so a bunch of people ran and some people stayed. They shut the door. They got done. They set their guns down. They said, we just wanted to be with the true believers. And they were believers. So certain people are willing to go to the end for God. Some people, they won't. They have faith in good times. Come on. That's easy, bro. Right? That's so easy. Oh, how's everything going? Oh, it's just great. There's no problems. God's so good. And then, you know, their favorite TV show gets canceled. And the pastor changes the service time from 10 to 10:30. And, you know, they got in trouble for, you know, at work for drinking coffee instead of doing their job. I'm just going through trials. Just trials. No, you ain't. Those aren't trials. That's just, your only trial is you're fleshy, childish. That's the only problem that's there. Faith and the operation of faith and how faith operates, we see this with Abraham. He gave glory to God, he stayed strong, and he spoke what he believed. And Jesus, and we see it here too, in other words, Abraham did not allow doubt to live in him. And you shouldn't allow doubt to live in you. Brother Hagin used to say this all the time. He said he would confess, he would resist doubt. Like when a doubt thought, he'd say, no, that's not my thought. I reject that thought in the name of Jesus, and this is what I'm having. For whatever he was believing for, he'd quote a scripture. This is what I'm having. This is what I'm having. And he would declare it. You got to speak to those things. You've got to say. You've got to speak to the mountains. You've got to speak to the enemy. If you don't, then you will yield to the enemy. And you will find yourself. Some people do it so much they just unconsciously do it. They don't even realize they're doing it. They don't even realize they're doing it. I was with a guy the other day, and if he said it once to me, he said it 20 times. I'm just so afraid of this. And I'm just so afraid of that. And I was afraid of this. And when we did this, I was afraid of this. Are you afraid of this? Are you afraid? Are you afraid of this? I had my sister the other day. Are you doing all right? You guys just got that building. I said, it's not my building. Oh, what if, you know, what if this? What if that? What if? Okay, let me just break it all down. Worst case scenario, okay? All the money quits coming in. The bank repossesses the church. So? Well, that would be horrible. Yeah, because God could not recover from that. Come on. God, he's not capable. He'd fall off his throne and hit the ground. Why did that not work? Why? God does not, we're not supposed to carry our burdens. He carries them. And there's an active expression of faith that has to be coming out of us to keep the enemy at bay and to keep those things off of us. well, what if this happens? And we spend hours and weeks meditating on what if, which and it never happens. What if tax reform doesn't go through? Then what? Then what's going to happen? My God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Yeah. What if this and what if that? And the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Well, I don't see what's going to happen, for we walk by faith and not by sight. If you get over on the promises and just lay there and just lay down, you'll be fine. The enemy will come to you and say, this isn't going to work. And you go, the Lord never fails me. He watches over his word and he performs it in my life. I'm smack dab in the middle of God's will, which means every need will be met. I'm consecrated to him. We're one in this deal, you know what I mean? Which means what? Which means his checkbook is my checkbook. Right? So I'm not going to lose sleep over it. You say, oh, but you got to be tempted. Listen, being tempted is not a sin. Everybody is tempted with something, sometime. People act like they shouldn't feel, have thoughts come to them. If they're like, they're really spiritual, or if they're really walking by faith or whatever, like they won't have any contrary feeling or thought. Jesus walked by faith and Satan tempted him pretty good. In fact, the Bible says he was tempted in every point like we are. In every one. Which means what? Which means the thoughts came to Jesus. How are you going to feed these 12? Where's the money going to come from? Well, if you give that much money to them, then what are you going to do? You see what I'm saying? Those things came. But what did Jesus respond in? With the word, it is written. It is written. It is written. It is written. We need tax money. Go fishing. Near as I can tell, that's the only scripture for fishermen to go fishing that I've been able to find. Go fish. Oh. So faith, anybody can believe. There's nobody that is born that can't choose faith. They don't exist. And if you believe and speak and you hang on to your faith and you speak what you believe, you'll see what you speak. You just got to have faith. And faith is not like a choir coming down from heaven going, you have faith now. Faith is confidence in your heart. How do I know this is going to work? Because the Lord said so. I got confidence in my heart. I can have faith in my heart and doubt in my head and it'll still work. Because I don't follow my head, I follow my heart. Why? Holy Ghost lives in here. Power, resurrection lives inside me. Well, what if the devil does this and the devil does that? The devil's going to do what he's going to do. And we're going to do what we're called to do. Amen. When you game plan for the opposition, you understand their strategies, but you don't try and figure out what everything they're going to do and sit and worry about what if they run this play. You just make sure you have your play ready. Amen? So, Abraham walked by faith. He lived by faith. And faith operates from the heart, and then you speak. Notice this too in verse 24. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. When do you have them? What does it say there? Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you what? Receive them and you will have them. When do you have them? After you believe you receive them. You got to believe you receive first. So people will do this. They'll go, Lord, I need whatever the need is. Well, we'll just say healing. I need a healing in this area. And they pray and they ask God to heal them. And then they check to see if something changed. And then they go, and the person looks at him and says, well, did you receive it? And they go, I don't feel any different yet. See, you got it backwards. You got to believe you received before you see. Now, a child can do that. You know, you've already done it with your salvation. You're already doing it. All you need to do, I believe, receive whatever, healing. And then you go, praise the Lord, I'm healed. People look at you and go, you don't look so healed. I say, yeah, but you don't understand. Jesus said, I have to believe I receive and then I'll have. See, what you want is you want to see and then believe. That's not how faith works. Faith works by believing first and then you see. Abraham believed that he would be the father of many nations 25 years before Isaac came. And what did he do from there to here? He learned patience. He learned how to praise God. He learned how to focus on the promise and not the problem. He learned that you can't make it come to pass yourself. That's how you get Ishmael. You know, that's how you get a mess. He learned that when the promise comes to pass, you name it, ha ha, laughter, Isaac, joy. He learned not to quit. He learned that you can trust God to the point where you can just put Isaac on the altar. Well, he gave it to me in the first place. He can give him back. Why? What did he do? In his mind, he went, the Lord, I had nothing to do with this in the first place other than believing. So if the Lord needs to raise him up for me, he will, because the promise has been said. It's done. And God will test your faith. He will test it. He tested mine, and he's done it more than once. And he'll do it again. And he'll really test the one thing that you really love. That, you know, the thing, you know what I mean? Like the area. People have different areas, but he'll test it. Oh, he'll test it. I know with my father-in-law, he always wanted a family because his family was messed up growing up. He always wanted a family. And then he found his wife and at Bible college, and well, at least he thought it was his wife. And I think they were engaged or something like that. But anyway, he was in a service one night, and the Lord showed him a vision of his family, of the family, like Susan and him and all this. And the Lord said, I want that. Give it to me. Give it to me. Let it go. And he said it felt real to him. And it is, because things of the heart are more real than things of the natural. Did you know that? So, in his heart and in the vision, he saw himself totally release Susan and give her to the Lord. And it was like he had lost, you know what I mean? It was real. And when he did that, then the Lord gave her back and he got the family that he wanted. Why? Because he's willing to give it up. He's willing to give up his Isaac. The Lord will get it back. And people say, what if it doesn't happen in this lifetime or da-da-da-da-da? You got eternity ahead of you. Whatever doesn't come out down here will be even better up there. You know what I mean? It'll be even better. I got things to look forward to. So faith, I want to look at Mark. Let's go to Mark 5. I want you to see this. About faith. There's this process here. And I like the Mark 5 version of these stories. There's a couple of stories here, or testimonies that were shared. Okay, so in verse number 21, I want you to see this, because we're going to just read a couple of faith scriptures where faith is mentioned. It says, It says, now when Jesus, verse 21, had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed, and what? She will live. What is he saying? He's declaring faith. He's speaking faith. Verse 24, so Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him, which means they just pressed him on all sides. So in other words, and that word actually means, I mean, it's almost like to suffocate somebody. In other words, there were so many miracles and things going on in Jesus' ministry that it was just, I think it was constant, you know, just crowds. Unless he hid himself, which he did do sometimes. Now a certain woman, verse 25, had a flow of blood for 12 years. She'd been bleeding for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. In other words, did the doctors help her? No. Is Jesus saying all doctors are bad? No. This, you know, Jesus had a doctor on his staff. Luke was a doctor. Okay? That's not what Jesus was saying. What Jesus, what this is saying is, look, this is a situation where the doctors could do nothing. And she spent all her money, and she didn't get any better, so the doctors are practicing then as they are today. And she spent all her money getting any better, and so she actually got worse as time went on. And then verse 27, when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. How does faith come? How does faith come? By hearing, right? What does verse 27, when she what? Heard. What did she hear about Jesus? He heals. She came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. Wait, verse 28, for she what? She said. Mark 11, 23 and 24, if you believe in your heart and say to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and do not doubt, what will happen? You'll have what you say. So what did she say? If I only touch his clothes, I what? Shall be made well. Verse 27, read it again. When she what? Heard about Jesus. What happened? She heard Jesus heals. When she heard that word went into her. What went into her? She received it. What came out of her? What was birthed? What was placed into her heart? Faith comes by, and hearing by the word of, is Jesus the word of God? He is the word. He is the word made flesh. She heard the word went into her heart, and then where did the word end up coming out? She spoke, and when she spoke, she said, I'll go touch him, and when I do, the incurable will be cured. What was the mountain? Bleeding. Continuous bleeding. To the point, no better, but worse. She heard a different word. That word came into her. That word brewed in her or it germinated in her and began to produce in her because she was saying, and actually, I'll just read it. Mark 11, I'm going to read it in the, stay where you're at. I'm going to Mark 5. I'm just going to read it in the Amplified to you so you can see it. That was verse 27, right? Yeah. She had heard the reports concerning Jesus, and she came up behind him, this is the Amplified, in the throng and touched his garment, for she kept saying, if I only touch his garments, I will be made whole, is what it says. I shall be restored to health. So what is she doing? She's walking to him going, if I only touch his garments, I'll be restored to health. If I only touch his garments, I'll be restored to health. I'm going to touch his garments. When I touch his clothes, I will be restored to health. What is she doing? She kept on saying it and saying it. Go back over to Mark 11, 23 and 24. What did Jesus say? He said in verse number 23, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things that he says, and he will be done. He will have whatever he says." What did this lady do? She kept saying, speaking, "Sickness is leaving me when I touch his clothes. This disease is not going to kill me. This disease is not going to send me to the grave. This disease is not going to stop me. This disease is not going to rob me financially anymore. This disease is not going to destroy my body bit by bit by bit. I will be restored when I touch him." Because she heard a word. How? You're hearing words right now. They have faith in them. You can say to the mountain, this is faith. Now, go back up to verse 23 again. "And the man came, Jairus, and he begged Jesus." In other words, he earnestly entreated Jesus. He was requesting. It's not begging like we think begging, okay? It's a different kind of word here. "Saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay hands on her." So this is his faith speaking. He says, "Jesus, come and lay hands on her." And then what does he say? Jesus didn't say that she may be healed and she will live. The man said that she may be healed and she will live. When you lay hands on her, my faith is speaking right now. When you lay hands on my daughter, the sickness is going to leave her and she will live. And what did Jesus say? "Sounds good to me. Let's go." Right? That's what he said. Because it says Jesus went with him. And then this woman comes along and we see how she operated in faith in verse 29. "Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction." Now watch this, watch this, watch this. I want you to see this. When did this lady's healing manifest? Bam, just like that. Quick, right? All right. How long did Isaac take to manifest? 25 years. You think this lady had 25 years? Probably not. She probably didn't have 25 years. She grabbed that healing and took it, is what she did. Do you know the word over in Mark 11:23? It says, "If you believe, when you pray, believe you receive." Do you know that word "receive" means take? It's the same word as take. When you pray, believe that you take it and you will have it. Believe that you take it and you will see it. In between the seeing and the taking is patience. That's where your faith operates. Do you know the moment whatever you're believing for manifests, your faith doesn't work anymore in that? You're done. You're done. The faith is done in that area. Now, you can always use your faith on something, you understand? But once you have it, in other words, if I call for the dog to come, I don't keep calling once the dog's there. I quit. Why? The dog's there. I see what I've been calling for. So when you pray, when you believe, so we see here that this man, Jairus, came and he speaks his faith because he heard about Jesus. He knows he's a healer. He knows that the doctors can't do anything for his daughter, so Jesus is going to have to. So in his faith, he goes to him and says, "Come, lay your hands on her and she'll be made well." In the process of that, another woman hears about Jesus who needs a healing, who's been sick for 12 years and had this bleeding issue and lost all her money. She hears about Jesus and says, starts saying and keeps saying, "If I touch his clothes, I know I'll be made well." And in the process of that, she's walking to him. She's operating by faith. Can I ask you a question? Do you think with all the blood she lost, she felt like pressing through a crowd to get to Jesus? So what was that? That was an act of faith. She's on a mission. And this is how faith is. This is how faith people are. You can't get them off of what God said. You can try and talk them. Somebody was talking to Heidi today, and this person was talking about me, and they said, you know, he's just positive. He's just a positive guy. He's got, what do you say, joy or happy or something like that. And I'm thinking, I'm not just positive. I'm in faith. I'm in faith for the church. I'm in faith for the people, which is the people. I'm in faith for what God has called us to do. I'm in faith for the people that they're going to fulfill what God's called them to do. I'm in faith for my kids. I'm in faith for my business. I'm in faith for my family. I'm in faith when I wake up. I'm in faith when I go to bed. I'm in faith. I don't just try it. I live in it. And I'm getting more and more crazy faith all the time. And I'm not backing up or going away either. Why? Because I know I've backed up before. It was dumb. I caused myself problems before. I'm not backing up. Why? I got to press through a crowd. I got to grab on to some clothes. Do you understand? I got territory to possess. I've got a legacy of faith to leave in the next generation, which will then multiply and leave in the next generation. Why? Because I'm not just living for this generation. I'm going to live my full length of days out, cross the finish line, throw the body off, dump it in a grave somewhere, wrap it in a burlap sack. I don't care. Throw it overboard. Leave it in the ocean. It doesn't matter if Jesus doesn't come back first. And then I'm going on to eternity. Guess what I'm doing when I get there? When I get there, I'm going to continue the work. And then when the people that are down here or Jesus returns and we all come together in one group, we're going to continue the work. Does that make sense? I'm not just thinking in terms of, oh man, I hope I get to retire someday and golf a lot. Oh, that's a real eternal goal. Well, I just want to be able to do just whatever I want to do. I don't. I want to be able to do whatever he wants me to do. I want to wake up every day and go, God, this is your day. Who are we going to run into today? Who am I going to be able to release the anointing into today? Give me opportunities. Why? Because that's faith. Faith doesn't sit back and wait for life to happen. Faith happens in the midst of what's going on. And that's faith. That's strong faith. That's what these people are doing. They're not sitting back going, man, I hope Jesus comes and visits me. Man, God, please send Jesus to my house. I've been bleeding for 12 years. Send him here. Is that what she's doing? No. She's getting up, doing the best she can with her hair, doing the best she can with her clothes. Come on, cleaning up, doing everything. I'm going to see Jesus today, and her friends are going, oh, no, sweetie, you're too weak. You can't do that. Come on. The people will talk you out of your faith. Do you know that? I'm dealing with a situation right now, and I'm dealing with this situation and talking faith to this person and feeding faith into him. And I said, now you got to watch it because your family will try and talk you into a grave. Now, you got to deal with this realistically. My favorite. Oh, here's another one. Now, there is a truth to this, but this is a lot of times not used this way. Well, you got to use wisdom. You got to use wisdom now. Well, what are you concerned about? Well, what if you die? We're all going to die. Hello? Why do we live in like la-la land about that? Why? Why do we try and... Oh, I don't want to think about that. I don't want to think about that. I don't want to think about that. Well, if you do that, you might go broke. Oh, not broke. What? Broke? If you get that church building, what if people don't give? Oh, not that. If we were depending on, just so you know, we're not worried about that. I'm just giving examples, okay? We don't do it based on natural wisdom. We do what we do based on the Word of God. We do what we do based on the leading of the Holy Spirit. And yes, we use wisdom, but not earthly wisdom. The wisdom that is from above. And when the wisdom from above says, go to the doctor and have this checked, you go and do it. And when the wisdom from above says, use what the doctor tells you, you do it. But if the wisdom from above says, stop doing that, you stop. Do you know, I've heard testimony, more than one, of people who, one person, this was the, they were having a, you know, this minister emphasized a lot about healing and ministers a lot in healing. And people would come up to him and say, you know, what do you feel? I have this particular issue with my body and I've gone to the doctor and they want to do surgery. What do you think I should do? And this person looks at him and says, you need to be led by the Holy Spirit on what you're supposed to do. What do you have on your heart to do? See, because we believe with our what? Our heart. What do you have on your heart to do? If it's in your heart to take the medicine, you take it. If it's not, you don't. That's what faith is. If it's in your heart to deal with the situation a certain way, you do that and you don't try and work around it and do your own thing because you're going to end up with Ishmael if you do. You do not want Ishmael. You do not. You want Isaac. You want Isaac. So in that process, this person said, well, I really feel like I shouldn't have the surgery. I talked about this. And they said, well, then don't have it. They went ahead and had it, and it cost them their life. But in another situation, they said, well, I really feel like I should have the surgery. I really feel like the Lord wants me to have the surgery. And they went ahead and had the surgery, and they were fine. But then there are other people that have said, no, I'm not going to go. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do this, and it cost them. So what's the answer? Be led. You know in your heart where you have confidence. If you will really control your own mind and settle down on the inside, you know in your heart what to do. And guess what? It is not usually going to agree with your mind or your body. Usually not. But if you'll follow your heart, you'll be blessed every time. Well, I really like this boy at school, but he's not saved. Don't bother. Or girl. Well, they have this, they're so good looking and you look at their Facebook profile and they got, you know, they're athletic and all this and they may be demon possessed for all you know. You got to follow your heart. And people do this, especially young people. This is for all the teenagers, all the young people. They do this. They go, well, you know, this could be the one that God has for me. No, God knows which one he has for you. He's not going, I hope you figure it out. And then they give their emotion and their soul to this person. For what? For nothing. Just for a bunch of heartache later on. I thought they were my soulmate. You got to know God. Follow him. So immediately the flow of her blood was dried up. Then it says this, verse 30, and Jesus immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, I've felt that power before, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? Isn't that interesting? Didn't touch his body, touched his clothes. I could touch Shane's clothes and he wouldn't even know it. But the anointing just goes straight out of him and he knows somebody drew on it. That's interesting too. There's all these people pressing on him. And nothing's going out of him. Why? They're not in faith. This lady was. And he said, who touched my clothes? But the disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, you're what? Your faith has made you well. Did he say, my power has made you well? He said, what? Your faith has made you. Whose faith? Her faith. Her faith made her well. Her faith made her well. Why? What can your faith do? It can lift a mountain up and throw it into the sea. If you believe. if you choose. He said, go in peace and be healed of your affliction. He didn't say, there's no stealing healings when I'm not looking. He did not say that. He didn't say, give that back. That's not yours. Don't you know who I am? This is God revealing himself. He wants you to ride up on him and grab his shirt and go, give me that. And then he'll turn around and go, who touched me? And you go, it was me. And you go, good job. Go in peace. Be healed. Go ahead. Why? Because it's impossible to please God without. So what is this happening right here? Is Jesus mad? No, no, no. He's going, oh man, this is awesome. Did you see that? The disciples are going, what? Well, I don't know what happened. Look at all these people running into you. You know what I mean? And Jesus is going, power went out of me. Somebody's got faith around here. And what does that tell you? In the multitude of people, you, one person can have faith and get what they need. Nothing can stop your faith. Nothing but you. Not even the devil. Not all of hell cannot stop your faith. He does not have the power nor the ability to do it. You have individual free will. You can choose. I choose faith. Then he says this in verse 35. While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house and who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? It's no trouble for him. So what happened? Is this man in faith? What happened in his situation? She was sick. Now she's, it got worse, right? Just because you're in faith doesn't mean the circumstance will turn around right away. Sometimes it might get worse. I don't want it to get worse. Listen, you got to get away from all that mess. Let it go. Let it go. Just get rid of it. Don't even think about it. Just go. Just when the doctor says it's worse now, you just go, glory to God, I fear not and believe anyway. Well, what if in the process of my believing I die? You died with your boots on. You died in battle. You died in faith. You did it. Jesus will meet you right away when your body falls off and he goes, boy, you gave it all year. That was awesome. Come on, let's go. Heaven's better. Right? At least you're doing what you were called to do. I heard a guy say this one time. I thought it was so good. He said, as long as there is a heartbeat in me, as long as I draw oxygen, I'm going to believe God and declare the word of God. As long as I can, I don't care if somebody is completely paralyzed and all they can do is wiggle their little toe. You just wiggle that thing in faith and wiggle it and wiggle it and wiggle it. Why? Just to irritate the devil. Go, look at that devil. I'm still moving my toe. While he was still speaking, this happens. Jesus turns and says, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, what? Do not be afraid, only believe. In other words, what did he say? Don't disconnect on me, Bubba. Hold on, we'll get this. Hold on, we'll get it. Don't disconnect, right? Don't disconnect. If you disconnect, you're slowing everything down in your processes. Don't disconnect. Stay with it. Well, it's not comfortable to my flesh. Well, praise God and make your flesh praise God anyway. Well, I just don't feel like praising God. Well, that's because you're a feeling Christian, not a faith Christian. The best time to praise God is when you don't feel like it. Your feelings will change. You just, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Your word's working. You just got like 7 bills and have no money for them. Thank you, Lord. You supply all my need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. All my needs are met according to it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Come on. The angels are moving on my behalf. Why? Because I'm obedient to him. I'm a man of faith. Or a woman of faith. Whatever it is. I'm a man of faith. I always believe God and he always comes through for me. And what looks horrible right now, God is turning for my good and his glory. I'm going to have a testimony out of this. You're going to see. I'm going to have a testimony. I'm going to share about how good God is to me all the time. I don't feel like praising him. I just praise him anyways. He said, bless the Lord at, let his praise continually be in my mouth. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Your word's working. I'm a child of yours. I've been conveyed, translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of your love. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. My mind is being transformed by the word of God. I present my body to God, a living sacrifice. I present every member of me as a instrument, a slave to righteousness. I have the mind of Christ. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead now lives in me, and that spirit quickens and makes alive my mortal body. Out of that spirit flows the resurrection of Christ. That's why I have the fruit of the spirit, which is the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. No weapon that is formed against me will prosper. Why? Because greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Why? Because, beloved, I am a child of God. I am complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. I am seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, far above. Far above all principality and power and might. I overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony, and I love not my life even unto the death. They always forget the last half. It just doesn't sound very good. I gladly suffer for Christ Jesus. I take up my cross and follow him. I count it all joy whenever I fall into various trials and tribulations, knowing that what? The testing of my faith produces patience, and I let patience have her perfect work. Why? That way I'll be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. My Savior suffered, I will suffer with him. I will not suffer with what he has redeemed me from. That's not what I'm talking about. I will suffer with him in resisting this world, in resisting sin, and suffering for the sake of the gospel. In other words, I lose my own desire, and I take on his and live out his plan. And if I don't see a reward on this side of earth, I'll see one in heaven. Father, we thank you for your word. Bless your people. We'll be doers and not hearers only. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't forget, guys, we don't have Wednesday service next week. Next week, you can stay home and drink hot chocolate. Eat marshmallows.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.